Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. This evening we've taken a pretty good break from our series of lessons for the faith, and so we get back to it tonight. Tonight we're going to learn about having the faith to steward our resources. Matthew chapter 25 will be where we're studying from tonight. And we're going to talk about our resources, which primarily what we're going to talk about tonight is money. But I want you to understand all of the principles that we learn about tonight apply to every resource. Everything that we have in our lives comes from God. Anybody get that? Everything we have comes from God. It's a gift from God, and we don't have anything of in and of ourselves. It all comes from God. And so whether it's our time, our talents, our treasures, whatever resources, possessions we have, we need to steward those for the Lord's work. We're going to learn about that. It's interesting, though, in 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus taught, 16 of the 38 had to do with money or possessions. And it's almost like the Lord knew that money was going to be a big deal to us. Isn't it almost like that? And so he taught, Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you want to know where somebody's heart is, you don't have to look any further than their pocketbook. Unless you want to look at my pocketbook and I don't use it, so there's nothing. You can't tell anything from it. Because you actually have to keep up your register to... Yeah. And that's why my wife takes care of the bills at our house. Let's stand together. Matthew 25, verse 14. The Word of God says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Please help me to teach exactly as you'd have me to. Open our hearts. Convict us, Lord, about how we steward the resources that you've entrusted to our care. Help us to remember daily that nothing in our possession is ours, but that we're just to be stewards or managers of your things, Lord. Please help us. Please guide and bless that your will be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So the Lord had a lot to say about this. And again, I want to remind you, we're focusing on the resource of money tonight. But this applies, whether it's our time, our talents, our treasures, whatever it is that God has put in our care, we want to be good stewards. So number one, the purpose of a steward. The purpose of a steward. I want you to notice in verse 14, it says that the Lord delivered unto them his goods. What he gave to these men before he went on his journey, it wasn't theirs, it was his. And you notice also that they traded with what God gave them. A couple of them traded what they gave them. The one who got 1 talent hid it. And you'll notice that the Bible says he hid his Lord's money. It wasn't his to hide. It was his to manage, it was his to steward, it was his to invest for his Lord. And so what we have is not ours. A steward is to manage the owner's resources. The steward is to manage the owner's resources. A steward is a manager. God is the owner, and we are to be the manager. In Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything in this world belongs to God. He's the creator of it. He's the one that gives it all. And James 1:17 tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And sometimes we get the idea that it's mine. If we work for it, we earn it, we put in the time, we put in the sweat, we put in the effort to get something, we feel like it's ours, that we earned it. But the reality is, everything that we have is ours because God allows us to have it, and it's not really ours at all. He's the owner. If you can't get that, at least get this. You're not your own. You're bought with the price. Now, even my life doesn't belong to me. My very life, my very existence belongs to God. And it's important for us to get that when we talk about it. You know, we've got this mindset in our world today. Possession is 9/10 of the law, right? And we've got this thing from a very early age. Our children will have arguments because something is theirs. That's mine, right? By the way, you don't have to teach kids that. They just know it naturally. You go back there in the nursery on any given Sunday and see those kids, and that's the kind of their mentality. Whatever I want is mine, and whatever you have that I want, that's mine. And that's kind of our attitude through our lives. We think it's ours, but biblically, we need to get our minds wrapped around this fact that it's not ours. God is the owner. I love what it says in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14. It says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and out of thine own have we given thee." You know what happens when the plate goes around and you give your tithes and offerings to the Lord through the church? You're just taking what God's given you and you're giving back to Him out of what's His. It's not ours, it's His. And we just give to Him. The same thing with our time. If you sacrifice some time to serve the Lord and to do work in the church, to study and prepare a lesson or to drive the van or to clean up or do whatever we do in the church, when we give our time, it's not ours. It's something that it's God's, and we're just giving back what is His. God's the owner. I am the manager. We kind of like money in the United States today. Amen? How many of you be honest tonight and say you like money? Wish you had more of it? Yeah. You know, people in the world try to tell us that money is the root of all evil, but the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God says the love of money is the root of all evil. The average American shops 6 hours every week, but only spends 40 minutes playing with their children. 6 hours shopping. What in the world are you shopping for? By age 20, we have seen 1 million commercials. In recent years, more Americans declared bankruptcy than graduated from college. In 90% of divorces, arguments about money played a major role. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is this thing about money and how we manage it, how we steward it, is a big deal in our lives. What we spend our money shopping for and what we spend our money doing and how we mismanage our money and get ourselves in really bad positions financially. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So what you get tonight is that we are stewards. A steward is not the owner. A steward is the manager of another's resources. And not only is a steward to manage the owner's resources, but a steward is to multiply the owner's resources. Steward is to multiply the owner's resources. We see this in what was expected. When this man, this master, went into a far country and he delivered to his servants, his stewards, he gave them money to invest. Now, this was a measurement of money. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And he divided to them according as their several ability. In other words, he judged their ability, and he gave them according to that ability. Right? Seems like he made a pretty good judgment, didn't it? The one guy he gave 5 talents to was able to invest that and to trade that money, and he was able to double the investment, right? He took 5 and got 5 more. That's pretty good, isn't it? I don't know if any of you guys ever mess with the stock market, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not that good. The other one he took and he calculated his ability and he gave him two to trade with. And the fella, he just didn't have much confidence and he gave one. And it seems like he judged that pretty well, didn't he? Now what the master, the Lord, expected was for them to take what he had given them and to use it to multiply it. God doesn't want us to take the resources he entrusts to us and for us to hide them or to waste them or to squander them, but he wants us to invest them. Amen? So you say, well, I went to church tonight. Preacher said I need to play the market. Yeah, the casino is not an investment. Well, I can go down there and put money in. I can get money. Yeah, no. I heard about a man just the other day who made $10,000 at the casino last year. Isn't that amazing? Won $10,000. Now, he lost 30 over the year, but he won 10. Isn't that awesome? That's not an investment, by the way. That would be poor stewardship. But investing, I'm not trying to tell you that you need to play the market. I'm not trying to tell you that you need to call up an investment banker tomorrow. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we're not talking about that kind of investing. We're talking about spiritual investing. We're talking about investing in the work of the Lord. We're talking about giving our time, talents, and treasures to the things of God. Now, listen to this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, if you want to look at it, you can look at it with me. Hold your place in Matthew 25, but Philippians 4, verse 17. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now here's what Paul's saying. I wanted you to give, and you gave, and you sent, and I received it. Now, they didn't really send him an odor of a sweet smell. They sent him an offering to help him in the work of the Lord. But he said, what you gave was pleasing to God. What you gave was a blessing. God was pleased with what you did. And then he says, it wasn't that I wanted a gift. It wasn't really about me. But when you give, it's fruit that abounds to your account. Amen. How's this work? The kids have been doing a thing. They've been planting different things. The boys have planted some tomato seeds, and they've planted some squash and some different things, and we're going to try to grow some food. Amen. Amen. See, I like that. Some of you guys like to plant flowers to look at, and that's okay, but I like to plant stuff you can eat. Amen. Amen. By the way, how many of you guys like homegrown tomatoes? All right. And how many of you don't like them? I'm going to pray for you. Something wrong with that. Whatever. Homegrown. They're just better that way. Sure like to fry that squash. Or I like to eat it when somebody else fries it. Either way. But I here's the thing. You take one seed, you plant it, and it grows a plant. And that plant will multiply, won't it? Listen, you plant a tomato plant, if it just gives you one tomato off of it, that's not good. You expect that when you grow that tomato plant, it's going to produce a lot of tomatoes. And that's the way this works. And he's saying when you give to the work of the Lord, God's going to multiply that. And that's what God wants us to do. When we invest our resources into the work of the Lord, it will be multiplied. And God will bless it. So a purpose of a steward is to manage the owner's resources and to multiply them. Secondly, notice a parable of stewardship. Notice the responsibility of the steward. And we see, we read just a little while ago, verse 19. So he gives one five, and he invests them and gets five more. Another one he gives two talents to, and he invests them, and he trades and gets two. He gives one, and he hides his Lord's money. And so after a long time, verse 19, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. By the way, there's going to be a day of reckoning for us. One of these days, you and I will be before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord will judge us according to what we have done, whether it's good or whether it's evil. And we're going to give an account of our stewardship before God. He's going to come in and he's going to judge us. And he has given each one of us different abilities, different talents, different treasures, right? And God is going to expect that we have done something with what he has given to us. And he's given each one of us differently, right? We have different talents. We have different amounts of treasure. We have different abilities. And God is going to judge us according to what we have done. We have a responsibility. I like what one man said. Maybe you've heard it before. It's not what you do with the million, if fortune should e'er be your lot, but what are you doing at present with the dollar and quarter you got? You say, man, if I inherited $1 million, man, I'd give and give and give. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not doing it with what you got now, you're not going to do it then. Right. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. And it's not about how much we have or how much we can give. In my Bible, Jesus said that the little widow woman who gave her two mites gave more than everybody else put together. They put in their bags of money, but she gave of her substance, and the Lord was well pleased with how she gave. And so it's not about the dollar amount that you give, it's about the heart with which you give. So we look at verse 20 in our text, Matthew 25:20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to get this. The responsibility of a steward is to take what our master has given to us and to use it for his honor and his glory. The reward of a faithful steward, those who were good stewards, those who invested what their master gave them, were rewarded greatly. He said, you've been faithful in a little bit, I'm going to bless you greatly. And you'll notice, some of you look at this and you think, well, how unfair is it? This guy had 5 talents. God gave him more. The Lord gave him more than anybody else. And now he's got 10. Look at all that he's got. And so when this other guy comes along and is unfaithful and just hides his Lord's money because he's afraid, what happens in the judgment? They take the one from that guy and give it to the guy that's got the most. Now, in our human reasoning, we think that's not fair. That's not right. Certainly in our culture today, that's not fair. Everybody gets a trophy today, right? It doesn't matter how you perform. It doesn't matter what you do. Everybody gets a trophy. By the way, those are the only ribbons I ever got. Thanks, Brother Billy. That was not supposed to be that funny. You know, that white ribbon? Consolation. This is your reward for showing up. This guy was afraid and didn't use what his Lord gave him. He wasn't a good steward. He wasn't a good manager. So he lost even what he had. What little bit he had, he lost it. And it's given to the guy that has so much. Why? Because he's proven himself faithful. Why does he have so much? Why is he so blessed? Why is God blessing him so much and rewarding him so much? Because he was faithful. Amen. He was faithful with what God gave him, and God blessed him abundantly. You say, well, I don't know. I've got the short straw here. I don't have as much as somebody else or whatever. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not about dollar amounts here. It's about your faithfulness with what God has given you. Are you willing to invest it? Are you willing to trust God enough to be a good steward and to give and invest in the work of the Lord? A parable of stewardship. Notice also number three, principles for stewardship. Principles for stewardship. I'm gonna tell you some stuff tonight. Maybe it'll hit home with you. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's stuff you already know. This first one may not be very appreciated in our society today, but number one, work diligently. Work diligently. Proverbs 10:4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." In Proverbs 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Some of you are like, well, I'll just be slothful so I won't be fat. Not that kind of fat. This is to be blessed, to have abundance, to be doing really well. God's given us a principle in his word that when you work diligently, you're going to be blessed. Amen? Now, everybody has different abilities. Everybody has different talents. Everybody has different physical limitations. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, whatever your limitations are, you need to work diligently at what you can do. Amen. Not everybody in this room tonight can do everything that everybody else in this room, but what you can do, you ought to do, and what you do, you ought to do diligently. Amen. Fella I know from Vian, he's in a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair for as long as I've ever known him, but he works down at the Walmart in Salisaw. Now listen, he could sit at home if he wanted to. He could stay at home. He could do nothing if he wanted to. He has reasonable cause to do nothing. But he has chosen to find a way to get a job and to show up and to work. And he does his job. I'm just here to tell you tonight that the Bible principle is that we need to work. Diligence is a character trait, not a gift. You look at one guy that's diligent in his work and he works real hard. Listen, he's not born with that ability. It's something he had to develop. Amen. You guys with me? Anybody can learn to work hard. Amen. By the way, I think most people have to learn to work hard. I think it's in our nature to not want to work. Amen. Amen? Now, some of you like to work. Some of you are just odd. Some of us are just odd. I try not to make eye contact when I say stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you, I look around the room and I see some guys I know that work hard, been working hard since they were old enough to walk. But that was taught. Amen. Work diligently is a biblical principle. And if we're going to be good stewards, we need to work hard. And there's a different kind of work. I get criticized, and a lot of pastors get criticized because, you know, pastors only work a couple hours a week, right? It's their job is just to stand in the pulpit, and that's all they ever do. A lot of people don't think that being in the study and spending time in prayer and spending time studying and preparing messages, they don't think that's work. And I'm gonna tell you, I've done both. And there's a different kind of diligence required for both. But it's all work. And maybe your work is at a factory, or maybe your work is digging ditches, or maybe your work is sitting at a desk, or maybe your work is taking care of your family. There's all kinds of different work. By the way, you don't have to get a check for it to be work. There's all kinds of work. But whatever we do, we need to do it diligently. And next, give generously. Give generously. Giving is not a matter of can or can't. It is a matter of will or won't. And that is always the case. You say, well, listen, preacher, you don't understand. I don't have this, that, the other. I want to point you again to the little widow woman in the Bible. This wasn't a story. This was Jesus himself standing at the temple, watching the people give. And when the little widow woman came by with her two mites and cast it into the offering, he said, she gave more than everybody else. Why? Two mites is nothing. I mean, it is not, literally nothing. It's just, but it was all she had. So it was everything. Monetarily, it's just, I mean, it doesn't get any smaller than that. Less than what we would call a penny. It's not, it's just, it wasn't about the amount though, but Jesus commended her for what she gave. Now, if that lady had, if anybody had an opportunity to say, I can't, that would have been her. But she didn't say, I can't. She just did. Give generously. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The churches of Macedonia, God's grace was on them. They had experienced the grace of God, so they wanted to give to the work of the Lord. You know what the Bible says? In the middle of their affliction, in the middle of deep poverty, they gave liberally. You guys know what that liberality is? It means they gave a whole bunch. All right, so some of you, if you had to use some kind of medicine or some kind of ointment or something, sometimes it'll say, use sparingly. You know what that is? A dabble, do you? Other times, it'll say use liberally. That means you use a whole bunch. Amen. Use a whole gob. You guys know what a gob is, right? Amen. I don't know what a gob is by itself, but I know what a whole gob is. Amen. They gave liberally. How'd they do that? Out of their deep poverty? I don't understand. It said, Paul said, I'm bearing record to their power. Yea, beyond their power, they gave. They gave as much as they could give and then some. Why? Because they'd given themselves to the Lord. And when they'd given themselves to the Lord, they were willing to give. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And if you say, well, I just don't know if I could do it, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, this matter of giving generously all comes down to the question, do you trust God? Now, I happen to personally believe you can't outgive God. And he says, listen, if you will give cheerfully, not out of necessity, but cheerfully, if you will give as you purpose in your heart, if you will sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And God says, listen, I promise you, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you'll have all sufficiency in all things. Amen. You're going to have everything you need. It's a promise from God. So work diligently, give generously, and next, save regularly. Save regularly. This is a foreign concept in our society today, so I want you to get this. You don't have to spend or give every penny you make. Amen. Let that sink in. You don't have to spend more than every penny you make. Did you know that? Amen. Listen to this. Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Retain, it means to hold on to. It means that you don't have to stretch yourself so thin. We live in a world today, and this is amazing. It doesn't matter how much people make in America today, they spend everything they can. And if a family makes $20,000, they spend $20,000. If they make $40,000, they spend $40,000. You know what's crazy, though? They say, if I could just make some extra money, we would be in so much better shape. You know what happens when they make extra money? They make 60, they make 100, they make 150. They just buy more stuff. Amen. Borrow more money and stretch themselves out. And it's a fact, friends. Amen. You don't have to do that. Amen. I believe there's a principle in the Bible that it's a wise thing to set some back. Who was it that God used to save Egypt? Was that Joseph? What did he do? Well, God revealed something to him through Pharaoh's dream. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So what was the solution? What was this great plan that this wise man of God had? Well, when it's good, put some in store. Because one day it might not be good, and you're going to be glad it's there. Now, I don't know about you. I actually do know about you. None of us are getting any visions from God. If you're getting any visions from God, that's a whole different message, a whole different lesson. We don't know when it's going to be good, and we don't know when it's going to be bad. So when it's good, lay up in store. Set some back. So when you work hard, then you give from what you earn, and then you save from what you earn. By the way, I think you ought to give first and save next. And then, lastly, spend wisely. Spend wisely. You work hard and you get. When you get, you give. After you give, you save. After you save, then you spend. Amen. Spend wisely. Learn to live within your means. Use a budget. Amen. You guys know what a budget is? A budget's this really cool thing where you write down all the stuff you spend money on. Everything you spend money on. Amen. And then you write down all the money you make. And then you calculate that out. And if you're spending more than you make, then you need to make some adjustments. Amen. Right. Amen? Spend wisely. Live within your means. I don't mean to be sarcastic about stuff, but I'm just telling you, it doesn't make any sense. If you're struggling to keep your lights turned on or struggling to buy groceries every week, then maybe, just maybe, that cable television bill isn't that important. Amen. Maybe, if you don't have enough money for groceries, maybe, just maybe, you don't really need internet at your house. We need to get our priorities. I don't know about you. I like to eat. Food's important to me. Amen. Food's more important to me than watching TV. Amen. So spend wisely. And it's not always that obvious. There's a lot of things. I think you ought to seek the Lord's wisdom in the purchase that you make. You ought to pray about it. You ought to seek God's face and be wise in your spending. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We got to get our priorities straight. Learn to be content with what God has given us. But when we think about this, I want you to think about the unprofitable steward. I want you to think about the servant who did not invest what his Lord gave him. What was his problem? He was afraid. Why is it that we don't give? Because we're afraid. I'm afraid if I give my tithes and offerings, and I won't have enough money to do this or that or the other. And so it comes down to whether or not we trust God. He said, we haven't brought anything to this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. But you know what you can do? You can make payments on the other side. You know what happens when you give your tithes and offerings? Let me be perfectly clear. You don't give offerings in this church to the pastor. Amen. This isn't that kind of ministry. Amen. Those guys are on TV, and Lord help, please don't send them your money. Yeah, there's something about that, isn't there? When you give, and if you write a check to this church, you're writing a check to the church, but I want you to understand something. What you're doing is giving to the Lord through the church. This is the storehouse. And when we do anything with whatever resources God provides this church, we try to be biblical, and we try to be Spirit-led with what we do. To do His work. We're giving to the Lord. And when you give to the work of the Lord, you're making investments in eternity. Because what resources are used in this place are used to bring souls to Christ. And that is the greatest fruit that can go on your account. Listen, I hope you get that. We had a man saved just like last week. James was saved. And when James got saved, one of the reasons we were able to do that is because of the giving. And we think about our missionaries, and when we read these reports of people getting saved, one of the reasons those missionaries were able to be there and to do that work is because you gave. Amen. And that soul that was saved is fruit that's on our account. Amen. We brought nothing into this world that's certain we can take nothing out. I did see a picture the other day of a Hirsch pulling a U-Haul. So I guess I can't use that one anymore. You know, they could haul it all the way to the cemetery. They can even throw it in the hole with the fella if they want to. Amen. But I guarantee you it's not going with him. Amen. But why not take what God's given us and invest it into His work, in His service? That's right. He didn't leave it to you, did he? Well, I told you before about the very wealthy man, and he wanted his wife. He didn't want to leave anything behind. He wanted to take all of his money with him. And so his widow promised. He made her promise that she would put it all with him in the casket. And somebody asked her later, "Did you do it?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I wrote him a check." Amen. All right. Listen to me, friends. We've been blessed so much by God. Amen. And everybody here, you got different amounts of talents, different amounts of treasures. And I guess reality, each day we all have 24 hours, but each of us has a different amount of time in our lives. We need to use what God's given us for His honor and glory. Invested in Him, and the way we do that is through serving Him through His church. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. Would you stand with me? I mentioned in class the other night that I used to get be real uptight about teaching about giving. You know, because all them preachers do is just beg for money. Down there at that church, you're just begging for money. I want to tell you something, friend. When I learned to give biblically my tithes and offerings to the Lord, God blessed my life abundantly. Amen. If I don't try to teach you about giving the way the Bible says, you're missing out on blessings. Amen. And so I know some of you may not like this teaching. It may not be comfortable, but I'm here to tell you, When you give to God, it proves your faith in God. Amen. Demonstrates that you really trust Him, and He will bless you. He promises us that He will bless us. Amen. When we give. Is He convicting your heart about anything, a decision you need to make tonight? Would you come?
Page 530.
Number 530. Holy Spirit.